Well, praise God for his faithfulness to us. Praise God for his unchanging word. It's good to be reminded of that, when so many other things are changing right now around us, that we can completely trust God, we completely trust his word. And as we're doing that, we're going to come back to the word of God this morning and look at a passage that we looked at about a year ago. And as I said, I was thinking about continuing on in Revelation, thought I'd give that a break this week and come back to this passage in Jude. So the book of Jude, just before Revelation, I want you to look at that. We'll be looking at this passage. And we did look at this in a couple of messages about a year ago. But the wonderful thing with the Word of God is you can keep coming back to it. And just as we sang, the Word of God doesn't change, but we do change. And our understanding changes as well. And so we can keep coming back to the Word of God. And it's not that it says anything different than it said before, but we can get, because our circumstances change, we can be encouraged. And today I want to encourage you from this passage in Jude, really about how we should, again, handle, how we can be faithful in these difficult times. And there's a number of things that I've sort of saw from this. You know, Peter, he said in one of his letters that he didn't think it was wrong to bring things to remembrance again and again. And I think it's good that for us that we certainly come back and are reminded of truths that we may have already read about in the scriptures. But again, today, just going to look at this same passage with a little bit of a different perspective and to consider it. And this passage is from the book of Jude. It's the last passage in the book of Jude. There is no chapters. It's chapter 1. We're going to read from verses 17 through to verses 25. And I believe in here there's four things I really want us to consider today, four bits of advice to us and really to remind us of, not just for dads, but for all of us, as to how we can be encouraged and how we can continue on in a time where there's just so much turmoil, so much changing, and really the last days. And this is really addressing that as well. So let's look at this morning. Jude, in the book of Jude, we're going to be reading verses 17 through 25. And so look on as I read, as the verses will be on the screen. But beloved, remember the words that were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that your word never changes, Lord, that the message of the scriptures is both true and trustworthy. And Lord, for us, we know that if we're going to live our lives in any day, particularly this day, it needs to be according to the truth that's in your word and for what you've revealed to us. And so, Lord, we pray today as we spend a bit more time looking at a passage that we looked at last year, Lord, that you would again renew our minds through the scriptures, help us to remember the things that we need to, and help us, Lord, to apply them to our lives. We pray that, again, we would continue to be faithful in our walk with you, knowing that you are faithful to us, and we're grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we have looked at this passage before, but I wanted to come back and address it really under four different points here. And these are for us, really considering the times that we live in. It's good for us to look back at this passage and just be reminded about what God is saying to the believers in this time and what he's still saying to us today. You know, because this letter that was written by Jude is the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the only letter that we have in Scripture by him. But he wrote this letter, as we come back to the beginning of it, he said that he wrote this letter to encourage the believers that they would earnestly contend for the faith. And what he's talking about there is really that we would continue to contend for or uphold and live by the Word of God. And, you know, as believers, as Christians, if we don't live by, we don't look at and study and know the Word of God, then really our Christian life is just based on our own feelings. As we were saying just before, our feelings can come and go. Our feelings can be deceiving. We certainly live in an age of great deception. And so if we're going to live a life that God is pleasing to God, the life that God wants us to live, then we need to be obedient to His Word and we need to know His Word. And that's the reminder here really in our passage today. And so when this letter was written, it was written in the late first century, probably after 70 AD, you know, that Jerusalem, the temple was destroyed. The believers were going through a lot of persecution from the Romans and they were facing struggles. And also there was a lot of false teaching rising within the church. And, you know, what Jude was writing to them was really to encourage them and to warn them as well and to remind them that the things that he is telling them about are things that are not new. And, you know, a lot of the things that we see going on today in the world, to us they seem new, but really the scriptures remind us that these things were not only prophesied, some of these things have happened in the past as well. Certainly the day that we live in today is very different from past days. And I believe we are approaching those end times and living in those end days. And this is a reminder here that we're given. And Jude goes on to talk a lot about false teachers, a lot about the rise of false teachers. And certainly there have been false teachers throughout the days of the Christian church. And even today, probably now more than ever. It seems as though those who hold to the teaching of the Bible, those who are faithful, we call them, you know, Bible-believing Christians. We use fundamentalists even is the word. You know, people are much, there are not many of them and they are somewhat despised. And I count us in that category. Certainly we do want to live by the truths of Scripture. We want to be faithful and rightly divide the word. And that's why in this church we spend so much time preaching and studying the scriptures and looking at them. And for us as well, you know, what we realize is that there is a lot of deception happening in this day. And that's coming both from the world, but it's also coming from those who are within the church, those who claim to be Christians. And there's a lot here that talks in the earlier part of Jude about those people. And even though outwardly they have this godliness or apparent godliness, really it says inwardly they're like ravenous wolves and it describes their nature and their character. Well, we come down to verse 17 in the passage we're going to look at today, and we find that there's a number of, I guess, commands for us and reminders for us that of the way that we need to live out our Christian lives in these difficult days as they did in the days of the time of Jude. And the first of these is that we would remember. In verse 17, you'll notice there it says, "But beloved," so he's writing to believers, he says, "remember the words that were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we need to remember the Word of God. And we can't remember the Word of God if we aren't reading it and studying it in the first place. But the other thing it tells us here, that it says that Jesus Christ told the apostles certain things. And the apostles wrote those things down in the New Testament letters. And we read them today. And one of the things he told them is that there should be mockers in the last time. Two things there. Firstly, there will be a last time. You know, the world is not just going to continue on as it is, going through different cycles. There is an end to all of these things. The scriptures tell us very clearly about that. You know, at the start of the year, we looked at in Peter where it says the end of all things is at hand. And Jesus talked about the last time and the last days. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that there is coming an end to everything. And that for us is actually a blessing. It's something that we look forward to because we know with that means that we will go to be with the Lord and the Lord will actually deal with the evil and judge everything in this world and set up his kingdom and make all things right. And we look forward to that day. But there is an end coming. And, you know, one of the things that the world is situated at the moment is that they're looking at all the stuff that's going on and they're just thinking, well, once we're past this, we'll be able to get back to life as normal or the new normal and that things would somehow change. But yet I think as we're looking at everything that's going on, and if you know the scriptures, I think it's clear to us that no, things are not going to get better. We're told that in the last days there'll be perilous times. evil men should wax worse and worse. And we're told also here that there would be mockers. Mockers that should, as it says here, walk after their own ungodly lusts. You know, there would be an increasing rejection of God. And, you know, in my life and even in your life, we've seen that just so many changes going on in the world, calling evil good and good evil, as Romans 1 refers to. And, you know, the difference, it's like everything's being turned on its head. But all of this is with a self-righteousness and arrogance that it really is apart from God. You know, for us as believers, when we read the Word of God, we understand that we're sinners saved by grace. You know, there's no righteousness in us. The righteousness is in Christ alone. And we need His righteousness if we're going to stand before God. We need His righteousness to be in heaven. We need His righteousness for eternal life. But, you know, the world today hails their own self-righteousness, and we see so much of that today. You know, there's so much division going on in the world right now about the people that say that, you know, I'm doing all the right things and therefore I'm righteous and I'm a moral person because I'm obeying all the mandates and all the things like that. And if you don't do all the things that I think you should do, well, you're a horrible person. You're a terrible person. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the world today that's really encouraging that. I think a lot of what we see going on even with our society, with our governments, is really trying to turn people on each other and trying to create division, really trying to say that, you know, if there all of these things that are going on at the moment, try and find someone you can blame. And you find with all these lockdowns and things at the moment, there's always some, they say, some person that didn't obey the law, that didn't do this, and everybody starts railing against them. You know, that really is self-righteousness. You know, it's an idea that somehow I'm better than others. And this is really the characteristic that we see in this day, this elitism almost. You know, we see it at the upper levels, but even amongst you and I, normal people. I mean, how many times when you, you know, walk along today, how many times when you go out and you look at people and you might see someone that's not wearing a mask or something like that, or they're maybe not distancing, and you start to judge them and think of them a certain way in their mind. You know, that's behavioral conditioning. You know, the world has conditioned us to think that way. You know, you don't know what's going on in that person's life. You don't know if they have a medical issue. You don't know whatever reason it is. And, you know, and the idea is that we would be going around looking at each other in that eyes is really what we're told would be a characteristic of the last day. You know, that people would go after their own ungodly lusts, that they would not be humble, but they would be proud. As it says here, these be they that separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. Now, you know, the Bible does talk about separation. It says that, you know, we as believers are to come out and be separate from the world. We're to not live according to the world's thinking and the world's ways, but we're to be, again, sanctified, set apart to God. But these people here separate themselves in the sense that they think that they're more righteous, they're more holy, they're in their own way, and it's in their own sensual, their own self thoughts. And so we're told here that these are people who don't have the Spirit. You know, that they're not believers. You know, if you're a believer, that Romans tells us you have the Spirit. And so what we find here is that we need to be reminded that not only are we in the last days, but these are the characteristics of the last days. This is how it would be. And that people would be mocked and Christians would be mocked for their faith. Now, you know, throughout church history, that has happened. And for us in our Western society, we've endured, I guess, relatively little of that. You know, we get a little bit of you know, now and then from friends, family and things like that, you get a bit of taunting, and some of you have been through more than that than others. And I know it's not pleasant to do that, but we need to be reminded that that is going to grow worse and that is going to get more. And this is what, not because we want it. I don't like to be mocked. I don't like to be persecuted. But what we're told here is that's exactly what Jesus Christ said would happen. And, you know, Jesus told us that that would happen because they mocked him, didn't they? You know, they ridiculed him and they lorded themselves over the one who is the Lord of all. And yet we know that that is ultimately going to bring their downfall with that. And so the first thing is that we would remember. We remember the words that the Lord spoke. We remember that in the last times that this would happen, and that we would remember that this were the characteristics. And if we understand that, it helps us to really look at everything that's going on today and not be overwhelmed by it. We actually just can look at it and say, you know what? Every time there's another change, every time there's another thing that's being put upon us, every time that there's another attempt to try and shut down, persecute the church, to mock and rail against believers, understand that that's exactly what Jesus said would happen. And so there's almost should for us to be like an anticipation of, yeah, I knew this was coming. And because, it's just like when Peter says, think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to try you. You know, there are trials coming for the believer on this earth. And, you know, Christians in other parts of the world and throughout history have faced this. And I think what we need to realize and remember is that, you know, that is really told that that's going to happen. Now, God promises us that he'll give us his presence and that he will bring us through these trials. He didn't promise that we would be free from tribulation on the earth. He has promised to take us out of the tribulation. But certainly we will go through some difficulties in this life. And, you know, God uses that to mold us and refine us. It's not about punishing us as much as it is about changing us and seeing him glorified in our lives as we trust in him. Well, firstly, it's the idea that we need to remember there in verses 17 through 19. In verses 20, we're told that we are to, it says here, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, the key command here is to keep ourselves in the love of God. And so where I said the first one is remember, the second point I want us to look at here of command for us is to remain in the love of God. Now, I want you to understand, as we should know, that God's love for us doesn't change. God's love for us is constant. Romans 5:8 says that God commends or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know that John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the whole world, and so he does love the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he loved the whole world so much that he gave his Son for our eternal life, for our salvation. But you know, he specifically loves those who receive that gift of salvation. You and I, who are his children, who we can truly call him our heavenly Father, because through faith in Christ, not because of our own works, because of Christ's righteousness and what he's done for us, we have a relationship with him. You know, as we're going to see in coming up in Revelation, there's a big difference between relationship and religion. A lot of people think today, oh, it's good to have a lot of religion. You know, beware of religion, particularly in these last days. There's a lot of religion going around that is very much self-focused and about me doing my thing and my own self-righteousness. But, you know, our relationship with Christ is that we know that Jesus died for us, and that's why we know his love. And yet here we're told to keep ourselves in the love of God. And it doesn't mean that God stops loving us. Romans 8 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. We're told, you know, that God loves us with an everlasting love in Jeremiah. And we know that as well. As we understand those things. But really what we're taught about here is to be reminded of and to remain in God's love. It's a bit like when you go outside in the sun. You can walk out of the sun. You can go into the sunlight. The sunlight is still there. The sunlight remains. But whether you feel the effects of that sunlight, you know, the light, the warmth, all of those things, is really based on where you position yourself. And what we're reminded here is that we need to position ourselves and be in the place where we're reminded of God's love toward us. How do we do that? Well, we're told three ways here that we would do that. We would do that by building up ourselves in the most holy faith, the Word of God, by praying in the Holy Spirit, and by looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking for his coming. I'll just deal with each of those quickly, but I want us to hear it. Notice it says that we need to keep ourselves and we need to build up ourselves. And so we don't need to work to keep our salvation. You know, the Bible's clear. We're saved. We're secure in Christ. He paid the price. If we have to do anything to keep that, if we have to do anything to add to that, then it's not of grace. It's not the salvation isn't of God. It's of our doing. We have contributed to that. The Bible is clear that that doesn't happen. And yet what we're told is that we have a responsibility for our own spiritual growth, our own spiritual well-being. And so here we're told that if we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God, then we have some sort of responsibility towards that. You know, sometimes it's easy for us after we've been saved for a while to just drift along in our Christian life and just kind of, you know, as think that we don't really need to do anything to grow in our walk with the Lord. And yet the reason that God keeps us here on this earth is that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that we would be not only know his love, but we would shed his love. We would demonstrate his love to the world around us as well. And so for us, we need to take some responsibility in that. You know, in Proverbs 4:23, it says that we should keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so for us, very much the way we think, what we do with the Word of God, what we do with our walk with God, will determine how the love of God works out in our lives. Now, I said God's love is always there. But, you know, for us to understand that, just to have the peace of God, for us to be able to again, walk with God, then we need to keep ourselves in that. And the three ways we're told is, firstly here, to build up ourselves on the most holy faith. Now, the most holy faith is the same word that Jude used earlier about contending for the faith. He's really referring to the Word of God. And so for each of us, we need to be built up in the Word of God. There's no point for us just to, as a Christians, to live off our own feelings. Because you and I know, and if you've lived the Christian life for any amount of time, as we sang this morning, feelings come and feelings go. Feelings can be deceiving. We'll have up times, we'll have down times. And maybe right now you're going through some times where you're not feeling real good. You know, you're locked up. You're maybe not feeling very well. You've got some pain, different things like that. And maybe you're just feeling like, oh, you know, what's the point of all this? Does God really love me? Well, God loves you. We know that, you know, that God loves you. But you need to be reminded of that. How are you reminded by that? Well, read the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, we discover a few things. Firstly, we discover how frail we are and how sinful we are. And then the Bible is a record of man's sinfulness, of the fact that, you know, we cannot live holy lives. We cannot live righteous lives. We cannot live the Christian life, even we would say, as it were, without Christ, without complete dependence upon him. And it reminds us of that. You know, that deals with our pride. These people that we read about, the mockers, they're very much like, well, I don't need God. You know, I can live my life without God and I'm fine and I'm a moral person and all these different things that they go on about. And yet what we find is that for us, when we read the Word of God, we realize, you know, just as mankind continues to stray from God, we, apart from the grace of God, would stray from him. And yet God, in his love, has laid down his life for us, and God in his love continues to work in our lives as well. And so we build ourselves up as we read about that. We also read about, of course, the message of salvation and the fact that Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins. And then we read about how we are to live. We're to live in dependence upon him. God gives us certain commands that we're to follow. We get built up when we read the Word of God. And you know, when we don't understand the Word of God, when we don't read, then, you know, we don't understand the love of God. You know, it's really hard to love someone you don't know. And, you know, when we come to faith in Christ, it's like we have a personal relationship, but that relationship needs to grow. And the way that we do that is through knowing God through his Word. And that's why we spend a time, again, studying the Word of God here on a Sunday. We preach the Word of God. We have Bible study during the week. And so they're important for us. You know, it's important that we take some time to do that, but not just that we would do that in listening to the preaching of the Word of God. That is valuable. That's important that we do that. But through the personal study and meditation on the Word of God as well. And I want to ask you, you know, this is the question that, you want to, you know, how is your relationship with the Word at the moment? You know, God wants us, as a reminder here, it says, you know, there's churches that, a lot of churches today, their aim is to make people feel good. You know, so there's a group of churches that say, look, I want to feel good. I want you to make you feel nice. I want to be entertaining. I want to be encouraging, uplifting, and fine. But, you know, as I said, feelings are temporal. And then there's churches today in the world that say, oh, we want to do good. You know, we want to go out and do good in the world. We want to feed the poor. We want to, deal with all the different matters of social justice and things like that. But, you know, those things are not bad to necessarily to feel good and to do good, but they're just byproducts of knowing the one who is good, the one who is truly good, and that comes by knowing his Word. And so, you know, the thing is, we are built up when we read the Word of God. And I would encourage you, maybe you think to yourself, well, you know, oh, look, I'm not very studious. I don't understand it. I find it hard to read. You know, you have the author living in you. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And, you know, if you just take some time to read the Word of God, you know, start in something simple. Start in the Gospels, Gospel of John. Read some of the epistles. Read, you know, James and Ephesians and Philippians and some of these. And just ask God to show you and just speak to you. And not just about things that I need to do, but really understanding the nature and the relationship and the character of God. And God will speak to you through this. You know, we have all of these different books in the Bible that we can read, that we can study, and that we can know. You know, also for us to meditate on the Word of God. What meditating is, the difference between reading and meditating, is where you take, maybe you look at a passage, you look at something, a truth that God is really reminding you of in Scripture, and you just, again, think about it over and over again. And, you know, that's different from the meditation of the world where they just chant and they do all these things. It's actually about growing in the knowledge of the Word and in the knowledge of God as well. And so we are to build ourselves up in the Word of God. That's one of the ways we remain. The other way we're told is to pray in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit doesn't mean you're praying in tongues and all this sort of stuff. It means really that we're praying out of our hearts and our souls that are influenced by the Spirit. You know, it's talking about for us that we need to walk in the Spirit. When we read the Word of God, you know, God speaks to us through His Word, not audibly, but, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We'll read some things in the Word of God, and God will remind us about, you know, here's some things I need to change in my life. Here's some things I can rejoice about God for. Here's some things that I can take comfort in the Word of God. And all of this is the Holy Spirit working in our life. And when we do those things, when we read that, we have the Spirit working in our life, then we can pray. And, you know, the thing is that when we pray, we're praying and asking God to help us to pray. And we're told in Romans 8 that the Spirit intercedes for us, that the Holy Spirit works in our lives to help us when we pray, to bring our prayers, as it were, before God. And so when we pray, we do that, and we trust that God, and we want to, again, rely on God in that, and not just make it a ritualistic thing, but that we would understand that we can come before God's throne of grace. So we, you know, here's the thing. No one can read the Bible for you and study the Bible for you. No one can pray for you. You know, and we can pray for each other, but I'm saying no one can do your praying for you. You need to take responsibility, and this is why we need to remain. We need to continue in these things. And the third one here is that we need to be looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, eternal life has three aspects. You know, there's the past aspect of eternal life. When you trust in Christ for salvation, you have been saved from the power of sin, you know. And then right now, as we live on this earth, we are being saved from the pull of sin. You know, there's this thing where right now we continue to, as Paul says, you know, the things I want to do, I often don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And he said, who shall save me from these things? Jesus Christ is the one that will save us. And he's even working in our life right now. We refer to this as sanctification, growing us and molding us and changing us. And he does that through both blessings and through difficult times as well. And then ultimately, we will be saved from the presence of sin. And when we say we're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe this is what we're talking about. We look forward to the day when Jesus Christ will take us out of this world, and the church will be his bride. You know, this is what we've been talking about in Revelation, the rapture. And for us, we need to keep thinking about that. You know, for most of us, we probably have heard this numerous times throughout our Christian lives, and we used to think, oh, well, that's going to happen one day, far off, a long way away. You know, well, we're closer to that time when we've ever been. And I believe as we look at what's taking place in the world right now, as we draw nearer to what the tribulation says, the scriptures say will happen during the tribulation, we're drawing nearer and nearer to that time. And, you know, all of that, when you understand that, that should change the way we live. You know, the way, when we think about right now, the fact that, you know, you may not have much time left. I know that for many of you, even the younger ones, you might have many plans and things you want to do with your life. But, you know, when Jesus Christ comes back, everything will be great for you if you're a Christian. You know, you're going to be with the Lord. You're going to be in heaven. You'll be in his presence. And you won't be worrying about all the things that you didn't get to do in this life. And, you know, the world's getting more difficult anyway. Many of the things that you may have wanted to do, you won't be able to do. But, you know, what we are told in 1 John 2:28, that if we abide in him, when he shall appear, we will have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, if we're living in the light of the Lord's return, then there's a lot of stuff for us that we may be worrying about right now, we're fretting about, we're planning for. You know, those things, if we understand that Jesus is coming back soon, it changes our whole perspective. Things that we were kind of really maybe stay up at night thinking about, decisions that we have to make and all of this sort of stuff. You know, God will give us grace for some of those things, and he'll certainly does provide for our needs. But, you know, a lot of the worries and cares that we have, if we just understand that, you know, this is temporal, this world is passing away, and the lusts thereof, but whosoever does the will of God will abide forever. And if we trust in God and we know that he's secure, we're secure in him, that we will be reminded of that. And, you know, that we will, again, a lot of these things that are really weighing us down, we'll be able to put aside and set our focus upon him. So remember is the first thing, remain, and that's the second, probably the major point there. The third one we see here, it says in verses 22 and 23, it says, and out of some have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And this is another R that I call rescue. You know, God is still, as long as we're on this earth, God has given us, again, things that we should do. And one of the things that we're reminded is that, you know, someone reached out to us with the gospel. Someone actually shared the good news of salvation with you. And as a result, they didn't rescue you, but God rescued you. But they were used by God to present that. And so here we're reminded two different ways in which we are to reach out to others, as it were, to rescue them, just as we've been rescued, just as we've been redeemed by God. We can point them to the same God. One is with compassion. You know, there are a lot of people right now who are downtrodden and they're in despair and they're looking for answers and they don't have hope. And we have to remember that, you know, this isn't, I think one of the things that we feel we've really had put upon us in the world today is that, oh, well, we don't want to share about Jesus because, you know, that might offend because that's very exclusive. Well, of course it's exclusive. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. But that doesn't make it wrong. That makes it, you know, the fact is that there is only one way of salvation. And I praise God that someone over 34 years ago shared that with me. In fact, numerous people shared that with me. It took a while for me to understand it, but they understood and they had compassion. They had the compassion to actually, again, continue to reach out to those who are in despair. And, you know, like I said, there are many today. And people are searching. People are looking. And so just be reminded that, you know, God gives you not just a word of encouragement. You know, it's not just about making people feel better, because you can cheer someone up, but they're still going to hell. You know, what they need is the word of life. And, you know, for us, we need boldness to do that. We need to ask God to give us boldness, particularly in this day. And then we have others, it says that, you know, some that are downtrodden, they need compassion. You need to just come alongside them. You need to gently share the good news of salvation, the love of God with them. Then there's others that basically respond in pride. You know, as I said before, they mock you. They say, you know, I don't care. You know, or you're stupid and all these sorts of things that they'll tell you. Well, it says, well, you're still to try, and we're told to try and rescue them. We do that, again, by challenging them, by warning them. And, you know, it's good for us to warn those who are rebellious, who are arrogant, as it were. And, you know, I understand there's times where we have to, as Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine, as it were. We need wisdom about when to speak and how to speak. But, you know, for those, particularly our loved ones and people that we know, it's important that we do make, again, warn them about the consequences of their arrogance. And, you know, God reminds us of that as well. And so, and both of these are really as the Spirit leads us. If we are, again, remembering God's words, if we're remaining in God's love, then when it comes to rescuing, when it comes to reaching out to others, we'll do that under the leading of the Holy Spirit with all of this. And then finally, verses 24 and 25, just want to remind you today, is that we have rest. This isn't about, I need to do a lot of stuff and I need to do these things to please God and maybe I'll do this. God is saying that these are the things that would help us, that will help us to live out our lives. But ultimately, we need to understand this. We're in the hands of the Lord. verses 24 and 25, and we often end our service with these verses. It's called a doxology as well, because it's giving glory to God. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." And this last part reminds us that truly we can rest in the Lord. And when we think about all everything that's going on right now, we think about the fact that we are getting mocked. There are choices that and decisions that we need to make, that we're going to face consequences and possibly persecution for. That we know that there is for us a desire for us to remain and really faithful to the Lord. We want to reach out to others. But even in all of that, we can do all of that not because we have to earn our way to God, not because God is a taskmaster saying, "You need to do all these things, and if you don't do these things, you're not going to be in heaven," right? You know, we're secure. We're secure in Christ. The Bible says that, you know, that whoever comes to the Father, that, you know, again, paraphrasing, it says, no man can pluck them out of the Father's hand. We're secure in Christ. And because we are secure, it should help us to understand that no matter what's going on with all of this, that we can trust in the Lord. You know, if we trust in our feelings, it's kind of like riding on top of the waves. It can be up and down and up and down. And for us, as we remember God, as we remember his love for us, as we realize that what he's doing in our lives, then we can be reminded that he is able and he will keep us from falling. Now, we might stumble in this life. There might be some times where we, as we go along, that we'll trip and we'll fall. Temporarily, like, you know, we might have a little stumble, but, you know, God says, "I'm going to keep you. I'm going to keep you safe, and I'm going to bring you home. He that began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ," we're told. And he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How can we be faultless? We have so many faults in our own lives. The only way we can be faultless is because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done. And just in closing today, I would remind you that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then your faults are before the Lord. Your sin is before the Lord. And God sees your sin. And you know, for you either have to pay for your own sin or you have to have someone else pay for it. The wages of sin, we're told, is death, separation from God, and ultimately eternity apart from God in the lake of fire. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus paid the price for our sin that we might, again, have a security, a place in heaven, that we might be faultless before the Lord, not because of what we have done, but because we obtain his righteousness, what he's done for us. And so this is God's wisdom, as it says here, the only wise God. We can give him glory for this. And I hope that just this morning, as we've considered some of these things, that it may encourage you. I know, as I said, this is stuff that we've looked at before. But, you know, really, in the days that we're living, we need to remember just that we need to stay faithful to the Lord. We're in the final lap, as it were. And, you know, God is faithful to us. And we need to remember that even though there will be great pressure upon us and there will be changes coming and there's more changes coming, but you should be aware of that, you know, in our world. There will be more changes, more persecution, you know, more hatred of Christians, then we can rest secure in the Lord, knowing that he's got us, that we're secure in him, that we just need to, again, keep ourselves in the love of God, be reminded of his wonderful love for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time together today. I thank you that these reminders from Scripture tell us that we know that we're in these days. We know that we're in the last times. We know that we're in the days in which there will be mockers, and we see them around. Many of us have experienced that already. And you know that we know that we're going to, if you don't return real soon, we're going to face some more persecution. And Lord, we look forward to your return. We pray, Lord, because we are struggling, many of us, that you would come back soon for us. But Lord, we know also that you have a purpose for us in this life, and we pray that we'd remain in your love, that we would reach out to rescue others, and we'd rest in the fact that we know that you are, again, with us throughout all of this, and that when it is the right time, that you'll bring us to be with you. I pray for each person today that you would really encourage them, particularly the dads, Lord, as we have Father's Day. We know it's often we feel as fathers that we're whether we're leading our families right, whether we're honoring you, Lord, I pray that you would help us, encourage us, and help us to stay faithful. We're grateful for all your grace to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.